Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You know that was for?
The baby that fell in the gorilla cage?
Yeah, it was for the gorilla that died.
That wasn't the gorilla sound, though.
I know, but I don't have a gorilla sound. How do you make a gorilla sound?
I know that's not one.
That's a
chimpanzee.
That's true. But let's talk about that for 2 seconds. What do you think about that? No, because it's been a huge thing on social media.
I've ignored it.
Well, you know, have you seen the video?
No, I ignored it.
So I ignored it up until last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really want to watch this video. I just think it's going to be cruel. It's going to be crazy. And so the kid falls in the moat, which is like ridiculous that the mother, who just, you know, for your information, works at a daycare.
Yeah.
And she, you know, the kid falls in the moat. And then the gorilla is just like, first he's just like hovering over the kid and protecting him. And then he grabs him by the leg because everybody just starts going crazy, like around. And he starts grabbing the kid by the leg.
Probably because everybody's freaking out.
Yeah, because everybody's freaking out. Right. And I don't know if he was doing it to protect him or like kind of – I don't even know what that gesture means really. But he was just dragging this kid around. And at that moment I was like, ooh, that's kind of dangerous that he's doing that. You know, like now I understand why the zookeepers had to shoot him. But I kind of wish they at least had a tranquilizer or something. But they say the tranquilizers wouldn't have worked in time. How would you have handled that situation?
I wouldn't have had my kid near an area where he'd fall into a fucking gorilla enclosure.
I totally agree. I mean, that was just
I have a kid, and he's been to several zoos, and I've never let him hang near a place where he could fall into a gorilla enclosure.
I don't even know like if she was drinking or what.
It's bad enough we have zoos to begin with.
I agree, dude, Eddie.
The problems extend far past what the incident that happened. It's just...
But what happens to, like, in that situation, do you kill?
I think you kill everybody involved.
You kill?
You kill the gorilla, the kid, the mom. I think you just wipe the plate clean.
That's it.
We're all fucking stupid.
Well, so. I don't know if we should have killed the gorilla is my concern. But in that situation, in the moment, I don't know what I would have done.
They have to act, they have to err on the side of, you know,
if that
gorilla started slamming that kid all over the place and they didn't, or if they shot with the tranquilizer and the tranquilizer took 10 seconds to take an effect and he started slinging it around and killed it in those 10 seconds, I mean, then it would have been even worse.
Yeah. But I mean, I wonder why, like, you have a trainer that would go into the cage, right, to feed him or anything? Nothing?
Well, you, the thing is, gorillas, you don't, I mean,
because they're just
you don't know.
You don't know. They could just turn.
You don't know with any animal, any wild animal. You don't know.
It's a crazy situation. I mean,
the thing is, shooting the gorilla, no one will talk about it in 6 months.
Right.
Just like that fucking dentist that killed the lion. Right. They don't talk about him anymore.
That's true.
But if that gorilla killed that kid, that's something that would fucking, that zoo would be shut down. I mean, you know, the repercussions for the human dying are far more than the gorilla dying.
But I think it's ridiculous that the parents don't get fined, nothing. Like, and they're just like making it like, oh, the kid's fine. We just want to tell you. It's like, yo.
I'm sure that enclosure is going to change. I'm sure there's going to be a fence going up like there should have been to begin with.
But, Cincinnati did not represent themselves.
We shouldn't have gorillas in zoos anyway.
I agree. You know, I was fortunate enough to go to Africa like 10 years ago, maybe plus. And man, seeing animals like run in droves so free, it was one of the most beautiful things.
If you want to see a gorilla in person, you should have to pay the price to go to Africa or wherever you see a gorilla.
I agree.
And then go on the expedition to see it and go, okay, that was worth seeing a gorilla.
And put them in these enclosures, to take them out of their environment.
No, zoos suck.
Yeah, zoos are terrible.
I mean, I belong to the LA Zoo because I took my kid there.
That's it, Eddie.
I took my kid there, and it was just, you know, but it is what it is. Like, they shouldn't exist. Well, I know they do a lot of good for animals.
Yeah, but, you know, only good that they do.
And a lot of those animals are born in captivity, so they couldn't be in the wild anymore. But
right.
you know,
like the natural evolution of an animal, like we can't really control, you know, like the black rhinos are extinct. It'd be nice to have saved.
No, things are going to, you know, things are going to go extinct. That's just how life works.
Happens, yeah,
but
it was crazy. It was crazy to see all the social media uproar. That
I
was
fucking
like,
ignored.
People were bringing like race into it. I was like, I can't. But
social,
you know what?
Social media is so the worst thing that's ever happened to this planet.
I totally agree.
By far,
I totally agree.
Socialism is an awful, awful thing.
It's like a zoo theme.
Just social media just is terrible.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It gives me, and you know, whenever I've worked with somebody or it's a club or, you know, it's like a festival, whatever it is, and they start like asking me about social media stuff, I'm like, oh, God. Why can't it be about what you just do?
No, because people are lazy and they're like, oh, you have 50 million followers? Okay, yes. That makes my job a lot easier.
Oh, my God. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. But yet, you know this. You got to play the game. We're playing the game.
I'm not playing the game.
The funny thing is, like, we don't really do that much for like Twitter and stuff for this show, but it gets some hits.
It does get some listeners. But
and
I
you
don't.
Know what? I get emails from people that have listened to the show.
I've yet to ever
met.
Get an email about this show.
I'll forge emails. How about
shoot me some of these emails because no one emails me.
Well, that's because they're probably.
Like, I never get emails.
They're probably like Eddie's the angry host.
Look, totally. If you want me off the show, just start a petition.
And they're like Eddie is.
If we
mean,
get one signature, I'll leave. One signature.
They're probably afraid. They're really like, dude, I want to email Eddie, but he's always so bitter.
I'm not bitter. I'm just realistic sometimes.
It's okay. I like all these animal things.
I'm just realistic. Social media sucks.
Well, social media does suck. What'd you do this week? Did you do anything fun?
Took my kid to see Angry Birds, the movie, for the second time.
Oh, my God. Really?
Dude. Yeah.
Was he just like, please, can we please go see Angry Birds? You're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, why couldn't you say, like, let's go see something else?
Because, I mean, like, I was...
X-Men!
He doesn't want to see that. When I was a kid, I like going to see movies over and over again in theaters. Of course, they were better than Angry Birds movie, but...
Well, Star Wars, I think...
I don't think
I saw that twice in the theaters.
Oh, I did. But if he wants to see it again, I'll take it. I mean, because the movie experiences is something that you don't get to experience all the time.
And you live right next to... Well,
I didn't take him to Mads. I took him to Universal. Okay. But it's
oh, that's terrible theater. Why would you take him there?
That's a good theater. What's wrong with that theater?
Not when you live right next to the good theater.
He doesn't know. He just sees a big screen and loud. He doesn't know the.
Yeah, but then you got to pay for parking. Well, you got to do that too.
You got to pay for parking. It's whatever. But it doesn't matter. It, anyway, the movie going experience is, you know, something unique, and he doesn't get that all the time. So
I saw Alice Through the Looking Glass.
How was that?
It was good. Like a fun movie, not a great story.
Did you see the first one?
I saw the first one. The first one got terrible reviews. This one got terrible reviews too.
I'm sure it did.
But it was actually really fun. You know, the cool thing is my parents, they saw it like 2 or 3 days before me.
Yeah.
At Grauman's. They hadn't been there in 20 years.
Oh, it's changed.
So they were like, whoa, this place is crazy. But they loved it. They loved it. And it was, I actually loved it too. It was a super fun movie.
Did you see X-Men yet?
I haven't. That's next.
I haven't seen it.
I'm dying.
I've heard horrible things.
I've heard horrible things about it too, which makes me not want to see it. But you know, you and I are like geeks when it comes to
I'll see it and I'll hate it.
Yeah, I mean,
because I don't know.
Well, you just want you're like, I want to be a superhero.
Well, just no, because they mess them up. They just mess them up. Well, Marvel's the only one killing it.
Right, that's true. But isn't X-Men Marvel?
It's Marvel, but it's owned by Sony, or I think that's Fox.
So that's
Fox
a different
own. Because half of the universe is like Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and X-Men. I think are over at Sony or Fox, and the other ones are over. The good ones are at. Called Marvel, or is owned by Disney and made by Marvel Studios. And then I think Fox loaned out Spider-Man to Marvel Studios, and that's how they brought him into Civil War. And I'm wishing they would do that with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Fantastic Four, that's one of my favorite comic books.
Yeah.
And they just messed that up.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I watched that, the new one? Oh, man.
Oh, it's awful. It's garbage.
It's so bad.
And what kills me is what in Captain America Civil War... They did for Spider-Man in 15 minutes of screen time that he was on that movie that Sony couldn't do to Spider-Man in 5 movies.
I agree. But you know what? The weird thing is like how they gauge this stuff. Like, you know, they have people go in and watch these movies and they get like kind of a sense of what people like. But I don't know who's going to those. You know, it's like who they ask.
Though I guess that Rogue One is getting some. They're going to do some reshoots on. The Rogue One movie. It's testing horribly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's just interesting to see what movie. You saw Civil War. Civil War is pretty good. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
Good fight sequences. Like there, like that movie made me want to scream outside, like scream out loud.
No, it was good. I mean, they just they know what they're doing with that universe, and they've established all the characters, so you can just drop them in and out of every other movie, and it's just every movie's fun.
It's okay, Eddie. They'll catch up.
Are you looking for a sound thing?
Maybe.
Every time you look down, I know what you're doing.
Eddie.
Oh, God.
Come
but
on.
It's so easy, late after studio the audience. Fact.
I just like to toy with your emotional balance on the show. You know, that's not... It looks like our studio guest has arrived, Mr. Brian Vibberts. Say hello, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Recording engineer extraordinaire.
Well, since I'm on the radio, should I use my radio voice?
Yeah, use your radio voice. Yeah. Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Hey, welcome to Wake Up Hollywood. Here we are, live in the studio.
You're like the morning talk show guy. That's like, whenever I hear the morning talk show guy, I'm like, that guy's very caffeinated. This guy must be very caffeinated.
They all are very caffeinated.
Well, I did have a coffee on the way over, so
smart man. I actually had one before, yeah, before too. And yeah. Man, it's good to be caffeinated. It helps. So,
good
Brian,
yes.
You know, it's you were on the show a couple weeks ago with the Elements.
That's right.
But now I get to throw sound effects at you while I interview you.
Excellent.
But let's just start right from the beginning.
All
right. What got you into music? What got you, like, you know, was it early records, family playing some stuff? I know you played drums. Let's get right to the nitty gritty.
Well, I want to, before we start, you're the first guest we've had in the 2+ years of doing this show that's brought their own headphones.
Well, I mean,
that's true.
I just like the...
Like, did you not think we were going to have headphones? You were here 2 weeks ago. We had headphones. And what that experience was so bad.
That's true.
That experience was so shitty for you.
He was like, I'm bringing my own.
I just like the Mo-Fi headphones. What can I say?
Because those are enormous headphones. It looks like you're at a firing range.
It actually looks like you're flying a helicopter.
I am inside my head.
Like a big pillow on top of your head.
He was like, you know what? Those headphones are okay, but you know what? If I'm going
to
hear my own voice on radio,
I want to hear my own voice on radio.
You are killing it right now.
All right, let's get back to the interview.
I'm just saying.
Good question.
Just never had anyone bring their own headphones.
No. Honestly,
thanks,
great question. So chime in with those anytime.
You want to bring a microphone too? A chair? Table?
I might.
We could do it at your place. Would that be better? Sorry.
Aw, Eddie.
We try to give a good interview station.
That's true.
Whatever.
It's pretty good stuff, though.
We're using pretty good stuff. God
damn it! Eddie's pissed. You've insulted the host.
I'm just saying.
Oh, boy.
So, Brian, what got you into music? Like, what was the thing that made you want to work in music?
Well, getting into music, I mean, I was 8 years old, started playing the drums. I think when I was like 2 or 3, my parents said that I would be like hitting pots and pans with, you know, wooden spoons and that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
So, for Christmas when I was 8, I got a drum set and loved it.
Trying to picture little Brian Vibberts running down the hall like, oh my God, Santa got me a drum set! Oh my God, Santa got me a drum set! Oh my God, Santa got me a drum set! I just imagine that's the first thing you do on a drum set. Is that what the first thing you did on a drum set?
Maybe hit the cymbal first.
You knew the big brown drum at the bottom, the big bass drum, the foot pedal.
So that's how I kind of got into it. When I was 8, so I've always loved music. My parents didn't play music.
Did you play in school? Did you play music?
All through high school.
They didn't play. It was like Footloose House. You didn't have any.
Well, they loved.
They banned music from the house.
They loved music, but they just didn't play an instrument.
Oh.
Yeah. But I mean, I played, I was in the chorus through high school.
Getting such a vivid picture. Drummer, Brian, now, did you grow the hair out like all drummers do?
Yeah, it was like the long hair.
So who was the band that you were like, I want to play drums because?
Ooh.
What was the band that did it?
I'd have,
It's tough.
Rush. I mean,
it's
you
a good
can't
band.
Go wrong
Neil
with
Peart,
that, right?
Neil Peart. Can't go wrong with Neil Peart. That's a great
right.
drummer. All the World's a Stage. Greatest drum solo I've heard on a record in a long time.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. I agree.
But also I'd say Phil Collins.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know, like, Phil Collins was doing like this jazz fusion stuff at the same time as doing his solo stuff. Genesis, he was doing Brand X, which is like jazz rock fusion band at the same time.
Drummer. Phil Collins.
So he had his own band. He had like, how many things did he have going at once?
Well, he had three bands. And he was playing on, like, you know, Robert Plant's album.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he was producing things. So he was like all over the place for a long time. Yeah, he was a busy guy.
Take time.
So he was an influence as well.
Dude, and the ironic thing is, like, I just read this article on Phil Collins, not to segue, but, like, he's so hard on himself. Like, he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have taken over Genesis. It was a bad move. And I'm like, dude, you were great, man. You were, like, a perfect, like, comedic.
Yeah, but he did all that hard work. And, like, you ask anybody nowadays, if Phil Collins, everyone's like, meh.
Yeah, I know.
Like, no one's like, love Phil Collins. Everyone's like, meh, Phil Collins.
But I love Phil Collins.
I think everyone does because they remember those songs. It's like David Bowie when you hear a song. That was David Bowie's song? It's like, oh, that's a Phil Collins song?
In the Air Tonight, you cannot
but,
love that
like,
song.
When you ask people about Phil Collins, you're like, meh. Phil Collins.
I mean, you cannot hate that song. Right?
I actually got to work with Phil, so that was a cool thing.
Well, did you tell him, I loved you?
Did you go, I don't care what everyone else says.
I love you.
Then all of a sudden security was called for some reason.
You like,
what did you work with Phil Collins on?
Oh, that was on Tarzan, the Disney movie.
Oh, that's what he won the Oscar for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I probably did.
Did you touch
he was in the memory bank.
Did you touch the Oscar?
Did you touch his Oscar?
No.
All right, so you were playing, did you play in jazz bands? Did you
play in play like in the orchestra? The stage band, the marching band.
Did you say stage?
The stage band, we didn't have an orchestra. The marching band, just, you know, the regular high school band. But then...
So you're in a band or the band?
The band, but so also band. A band, because that's what got me into recording.
Gotcha.
We had like a rock band that we were doing, and it was like an extra thing that the teacher helped set up for us that wasn't, you know, no one teaches recording, right, in high school. So she set it up to do this extra thing outside of the classroom, and we went to a 16-track, 2-inch recording studio.
Tape, and that's tape. Yeah, tape. You're definitely doing tape.
Did you bring your own headphones?
Maybe I should have. Good question.
You're mean,
yeah,
Eddie.
That's always going to be the question for that one.
And so, you know, what happened? We were recording two original tracks, and then after we recorded, the guy was like, you know, come on in, the engineer. You know, give it a listen. So then I went to that room, and the guy's like putting delays and special effects on the guitar solo and everything. I'm just like, wow.
You're like, well, this sounds amazing.
What is going on in this room? And so that was it right there. I was just like, this is what I want to do.
So you didn't want to play music anymore after that. You wanted to you wanted to record music.
Yeah, I never really wanted to be the pro drummer like in a band. I always loved playing drums. I still love playing drums, but that was never the goal.
No, really.
But there's a wonder in a studio. I think I felt like that when I was a kid. The first time I was in a studio, it was like,
it's amazing.
This place has so much opportunity to do whatever. Like,
it's so creative and magical.
So creative. You get nothing, and it's like, go. You know what I mean? And I just remember thinking the same thing.
Like, yeah.
This is crazy. This is so fun. And I still feel that way. Mm. You're like, no, I don't feel that. I walk into a studio, and I'm like, yeah, I want to be at home watching a movie.
I walk into an editing bay, I'm like, meh. I'd rather have someone editing what I do than me editing it.
Well, you know what?
It's just the way I feel.
Live the dream.
That's just what I feel.
All right, so after you went through high school,
yep.
You did a bunch of marching band and
went to Berklee College of Music.
Berklee College of Music.
Bragger.
Got a degree. When did you know that you wanted to pursue a career in music? Was it that moment in the studio?
Well, that's where the interest started. But I was going to be going to work for NASA. That was the original plan.
Whoa.
So
wait a minute.
My major was astronomy.
What?
With a minor in music. That's what the original
you took path a was. Far turn from that.
But I'm still working with the stars. Does that count for something?
Yeah, that's true.
Where's a sound effect for that?
Yeah.
Do
I get crickets or do I get the animal?
Where's
theme?
The wah 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 wah?
Something magical, Andy. Yeah. Or I just called you Andy. Eddie. Mm. What do you want? What do you want? Tell me what you want. What
I
you
wanted
want?
A wah 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 wah.
Oh.
Thank you.
Nice reverb.
5 minutes late.
Trying. Well, I was trying to look for this, like NASA.
Oh, nice. I like it. Actually, I did do some DJing as well.
Whoa!
Did you ever go to space camp?
No, I did do some special things, but I didn't do that. I would have loved to. It would have been awesome.
What special things did you do?
I'll just
throw that out there and not name what it is.
No, I would like. Well, when I was graduating, it was near the time of Halley's Comet coming around.
Halley's Comet?
Halley's or Halley's?
Yeah, no, it's officially Halley's.
Really?
Everyone says Halley's.
But it's Halley's?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Are you bullshitting us?
No.
Halley's Comet?
But I don't want to be that guy.
There's
that says
two
you're,
L's in
right?
There.
Well, you're not that guy. It's actually, we both said Haley, so yeah. He's the guy that said Hallie's.
Yeah, but if that's the right one, when you go to
I've
a party,
never
you're
heard
like,
Hallie's
oh
comment.
Oh my God, have you seen Hallie's comment?
I've never heard like, Hallie's comment. Haley's. I've never heard Hallie's.
Why didn't they put the second L? Why the E? It doesn't make any sense.
I never heard Hallie's comment before.
So I was doing all these extra things with like going to telescope, you know, places, mountains that had telescopes and all that, and doing. You know, all kinds of stuff in high school. We didn't really have an astronomy class. We had physics classes and that kind of stuff.
I'm just picturing drummer Brian, long hair, rocking out to Rush.
That's right. Iron Maiden.
Dude.
White scientist coat.
Let's go look at the stars.
And in the middle of the night, I'd wake up and, like, get my telescope out and, like...
Of course you had your own telescope.
But, you know, yeah, of course. But, you know, that helped later on because after being awake, you know, any hour of the night... When
now
I was in the
like,
studio later on.
All right, like, so well, you were like sitting there. You must have been having crazy anxiety. You're like, NASA, Berklee College of Music, NASA.
Well, no, it was easy because what happened is after the Shuttle Challenger tragedy, NASA shut down for like 2 years.
And you were like.
So the place that I wanted to work was closed down. Nobody knew if it was going to open back up or, you know, what was going on. So I was like, I need to rethink this path. So
what did you say?
Went to Berklee.
So had that not happened, had the shuttle not exploded?
Yeah, then we'd be talking about
you'd be an astronaut. We'd be interviewing an astronaut right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
I might have brought an astronaut helmet.
You, of course, you would have.
With headphones.
Of course, you'd have your own astronaut helmet.
What?
Nice.
So I always wonder, like, when it comes to recording engineering for applying to schools. Do you send a song that you did in high school? Do you send...
What I had to do.
What do you do for that? So tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the normal things that... Like an essay and all that, like why you want to do it and that kind of thing. But also I had to send in a tape of me like playing drums and... Yeah.
And you must... Like, Berklee College of Music is one of the top schools, if not the top school. For music in Boston.
Yeah.
So you must have crazy musicians that you
went to school with. It was awesome because...
Who did you go to school with?
Because all these people would... Well, Layla Hathaway, she was there. Actually, I recorded her last year live at the Troubadour. So that was cool to finally work with her. A lot of different people. You know, a lot of great people have come from that
session
school.
Players. Cool. Any session players? Any... Well, who was in your class? Do you remember anybody that was in your class? He's like,
I don't remember. No, I'm just like, kidding.
I didn't really go to Berklee. I was bullshitting you.
Did you see that look on his face? Like, I mean, you see what he's like? Nope.
Well, look at the time.
There's been
a lot of great people have come out of there, and I haven't worked with a lot of them.
And you graduated.
Yes, I did.
But a lot of people, I say that because a lot of people drop out of Berklee.
That's true.
Because everyone I've ever known who's gone to Berklee Music School has dropped out of Berklee.
Usually they get picked up on a tour and then they don't go back. Yeah. I mean, they have a good opportunity and then they're like, well.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, it's totally understandable.
And like people don't finish because of the tuition or they don't like the, having to study music. I mean, I had people drop out of my program. It was tough for me to stay with it.
Yeah.
So I say that it's like a huge tribute and credit to your, passion for music and to work. Okay, so like you graduated from Berklee.
Right.
What happened?
Supposedly.
And then I went straight to New York City, and I started luckily I started in the big studios, and stayed
when you say
my
the big
career.
Studios, a lot of our listeners are like, you mean the garage of my neighbor's house? What are the big studios?
Well, at the time, Right Track Recording was where I started. That was in the middle of Manhattan. That's now closed, unfortunately. But when I got there, they had just finished... The Rolling Stones.
Wow.
I don't remember the album. And also they had just finished Yes doing the Union album.
That's amazing.
And then I showed up and was like, wow, that's crazy, right? So, I mean, I was just lucky and just fortunate to be able to get a job there and start and work
in the
studio.
It's like the heavens opened up. They said, Brian, come on in. Record.
Yeah.
Oh
my God, I hate your sound.
Talk about nice. Reverb.
Yeah, the choir. And
all right, so that was the first studio that you worked in, and where else?
And then from there, I went to the Hit Factory.
That's a famous studio.
Yeah, I worked on a lot of great.
Tell Eddie what records have come through there, or what records you were around.
Well, okay, the Hit Factory, things that I worked on. Let's see, Mary J. Blige, David Lee Roth, Pocahontas, Michael Jackson,
which Michael
Celine
Jackson?
Dion,
Let's talk
Mariah
about that
Carey.
For a second.
Which David Lee Roth?
Which Pocahontas?
Dirty little dirty, filthy little mouth. Mm. That's not right. I got that all mixed.
Dirty, filthy little mouth.
Yes, that's right.
I thought you were just cursing at Eddie.
Did you really work at the hit studio? Have you really done anything besides bring your own headphones to the internet?
And that was with Nile Rodgers producing. That was awesome to work with, you know, Nile as well. That was cool.
So what,
well, Michael Jackson, you know, there, and I mean, a lot of great people went to the Hit Factory.
Well, let's talk about that. So what did you work on with Michael Jackson at the Hit Factory? What was the record or...
History.
History.
Yeah.
And you were, that was like, you were...
Like alibis? Stuff like that?
What?
No, never mind. Forget it. Forget it.
I was like, what? What are you talking about, Eddie?
What do you mean? Never mind. Never mind.
I was on the recording team for History, and that was all year, for all of 1994.
And that you got to work with Bruce Swedeen,
yep,
right?
Bruce Swedeen, yeah. He was one of the main guys I learned from, which, I mean, I consider him to be the best
engineer
ever.
I mean, he's the best worked on any record,
yeah,
basically.
I love his work.
Bruce Swedeen doesn't do records anymore, right?
He's basically retired. He still does a little bit here and there, just when he wants to. I think it's more for fun now.
On the History album, Michael Jackson did Smile.
Yes.
Did because that's Charlie Chaplin.
That's right.
Wrote that.
That's right.
Did you work on that song?
Yes.
Did, like, I'm always wondering about the lyrics for that. Did he make up those lyrics for that song? Because it was originally just an instrumental.
No, Charlie.
Did he write the actual lyrics?
Yeah.
For that?
Okay. Yeah, Charlie Chaplin.
Those are the actual same lyrics. Okay.
Yes.
I was just curious.
Same lyrics. Great. You know what? I actually did that song at my senior recital, college. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. And Charlie Chaplin, when I found out he did it, I was like, what a badass. I love Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, insane.
One of the greatest.
And Michael recorded that live with the orchestra all at the same time.
Oh, my God.
In Studio One at the Hit Factory.
And you're awesome. So you're sitting there watching and working with Michael Jackson. You must be thinking, I've come a long way since my marching band in high school.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. did it, too, for the Chaplin soundtrack.
Not the same, though. Not the same. So that must have been an amazing opportunity, working with Michael, working with Mary J. Blige.
Yeah, and absolutely.
You were all always... And that record, there were like teams of people working, right? There
was because we had multiple rooms going on at the same time.
That's like an era that you will never find ever again, that kind of production.
Yeah,
that's
right.
It just won't happen again. There's no budget.
The budgets are just not...
But that must have been an incredible experience. And what were the hours like? Were you working crazy?
Oh, the hours were... Yeah, they were... They were nuts.
I remember Brian. Brian and I have worked together on a couple records of NK Band, and we're partners today for the Element, for the songwriting team. But I remember asking some questions about Michael, and it was so cool. You would say, like, you know, the lights would be real low, and like nobody would bother Michael, and then he would just come in, and like everybody knew, like, okay, it's time to work. Like, you wouldn't know when he would come in, and he would just like leave, and that was it. You know what I mean? It was like almost working with a phantom in some ways.
It was usually dark in the studio.
Horribly sad.
And no, it's kind of cool. Like,
just a creative vibe, actually.
Creative.
In terms of the lighting and everything.
Damn,
yeah.
That seems sad to me.
Why? Why does it seem sad?
You don't like the mood lighting?
I just don't like not talking to anybody, then coming in and doing your thing and then leaving.
No, it wasn't totally like that.
It wasn't like that.
Well, that's what you guys just made it sound don't look at Michael.
No, it wasn't like that. But, I mean, everybody would be ready. And, like, Michael would take a moment. Brian, you should tell this story.
Well, that's not the way you guys made it sound.
No,
I could see the artist taking a moment and then going and doing it. But you guys made it sound like, all right, we're just going to sit here for, I don't know, however how long.
No, we were
until
always,
Michael's
we,
ready.
We were always working, whether he was in the room or not. I mean, we were working long. Usually it started, like, 9 or 10 in the morning, and sometimes we'd go until 6 in the morning.
That's crazy.
But it was always until midnight. Oof. Always. It was never before that. And then we just continued
on. Did
you
get paid by the hour?
Yes.
The good old days.
Man.
But didn't get much sleep during that that whole year. That was
you must have been very caffeinated during those sessions.
And actually, we're talking about this topic, in June here, in June 23rd, there's a special Michael Jackson seminar that actually I'm going to be speaking at. It's called MJU Los Angeles. It's put on by Brad Sundberg, who was also in those sessions. And he worked with Michael for like 18 years. So he puts on the seminar, and I'm like a special guest for that.
That's amazing.
So
I want a seat.
There's still tickets available, so
let me know.
In the studio with MJ.
No, that must have been amazing. That experience... I mean, it's hard to top that experience. But let's talk about some other ones.
Yeah,
you also worked with Lauryn Hill.
Right, yep. That was it. After the Hit Factory, I went to Sony Music Studios, and I was a staff engineer there for a little over 5 years. Worked with Lauryn Hill, which was, I mean, incredible.
That was she was kind of not a big name at that point.
Well, the Fugees were, big. But yeah, she was doing her own solo project.
Huge step. And, when you were listening to the tracks, you must have been like, oh my God, this is, because that's one of my favorite records.
Yeah. We should play something.
Let's play something. What are we going to play?
A little doo-wop.
Doo-wop.
Doo-wop. Here we go. Doo-wop.
Yo, remember back on The Bully when cats used to harmonize like. Yo. 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 My men and my women, don't forget about the dame. This is not the most the king. Yo. It's about a thing.
Feel real good when your hands in the air. And lick two shots in the atmosphere.
Since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then you probably can. Talking out your neck saying you're a Christian, a Muslim, sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass cause you thinking it's trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. But you still defending them now. Lauryn is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. Yo. Win-win. Come again. With his rims and his Timbs and his women, him and his men. Come in the club like hooligans. Don't care who they offend, popping yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one that pack pissed out by the waistman, crissed out by the casement. Still the name of this basement. The pretty face man, claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 and 4 kids. Been the face in court case when the child support's late. Money taking, heartbreaking. Now you wonder why women hate me. The sneaky silent man, the punk domestic violence man, the quick to shoot the semen. Stop acting like boys and be men. How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gonna win when you ain't right within? How you gon' win when you ain't right within? Come again. Yo, yo, come again.
One of my favorite
songs. Sounds great
songs.
On these headphones.
It does.
Damn you.
And he's like, that's it. I'm going to blow them up.
Now, when I was listening to that song, I was thinking of his, like, remembering the woofers just like bouncing back and forth because we would have it cranked in the studio. You know what I mean? On the playbacks and just listening as we were doing
it. I love, you know what? Nobody really notices this, but the bass player that plays on that track is just insane.
What a pocket, right?
The groove is just...
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, it's so silly. It's so grooving that it just makes
me slap
myself.
The whole album is like that. It's really...
I know.
Yeah.
And song to song to song to song to song is just ridiculous. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. That was actually a big pop song. That was like the first pop song off the record. And it won something like 9 Grammys or something like that.
It was nominated for a lot. I think it brought... I think she brought home 5.
No, she brought more than 5. Yeah. Right. I want to say she brought 8.
Mm-hmm.
It was album a lot. Of the year, song of
I think
the
it's
year,
the,
all
I think it's the
stuff.
Most for any hip hop.
It was so good.
Album.
She didn't. She never followed Still. It up with anything, but that record.
I know.
Not like I mean, she didn't follow it up with anything like that. But okay, other than major label artists, you've
yes.
been working with some indie artists. Talk
yes.
to us about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, I work with major label artists, but also the indie artists as well. So either mixing or recording. A lot of the times they kind of record it themselves or do it in their own place and then send it to me to mix, which is cool because then, you know, I'm doing the final
you don't
tweaks
do any
on
of,
it.
Any of the crazy stuff. Mike and the kick, man, you know, all that.
But also, you know, sometimes production. With Spotlight 87, my partner Alex, we're doing, you know, some different productions with indie artists. So,
and is this an indie artist that's on, that you're working on stuff with your partner?
Yeah. The next track that we're going to listen to, we produced it and we recorded her in New York. Actually, she's from New York.
How'd you find her? Did she find you guys?
That went through Alex. So he made that connection first with her. Her name is Hannah Gill.
I made it. Just for our listeners.
First time.
I didn't see
I made it.
It.
First time. I've been 1 in like 11 the last couple weeks. But I made
like
it.
Like Kobe in his final season.
That's right. So
yeah, she's an amazing singer. We recorded the vocals in New York, and then I mixed it here in L.A. at my studio. So, yeah, I mean, when you
what's
hear,
the style? Well, like, how did you come up with? Did she kind
of
write the song?
All kinds of styles. You know, I work in rock and pop and jazz and hip hop, R&B. I listen to all that, so you know, I understand it, so I can mix it.
Eddie, just so you know, Brian's CD collection is
oh man,
it's one of the most epic, and it's one of the most epic, but it's like also one of the most organized. Like I could ask him, like, okay, give me 90s hip hop, boom, he'll pull it, and it's like
yeah.
he's got a whole room where it's just like all CDs.
9,300.
9,300, really?
9,300.
Damn.
Yeah.
When are you going to convert to digital? you can convince them. That could all fit
Wait,
in your pocket if you wanted it
CDs
to.
CDs are digital.
Well, you know.
You know, on the hard drive.
The size when are you going to put it in the cloud?
Right? Yeah. You'd have a whole room down in the size of your pocket.
Well, let's get to this track. What's the name of this track?
I Feel Awake by Hannah Gill.
All right, here it comes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Just go up. Leave the rest alone. Fortune and pain will come along at times, but we all know they'll just fade. And I don't understand why we fear. And I don't understand. I feel awake as I am dreaming.
Yeah. Ooh. The ending caught up on you, Brian.
I love that drum solo at the beginning. Dude, that was amazing. Yeah.
That's because, you know, I was like trying to set it up, and you were like, bang!
Didn't need to set it up. We're like, let's do it. Let's go into it. Here it is.
You like the setup Nazi.
Don't need a drum roll every time we go into a new
Why not?
Song.
It was just like, it was a nuance. We hadn't done it for the first one. It was like, let's get into it. Yeah. Pizzazz. Presentation's everything, Eddie.
No. See? No. Just get into it.
Let's just get into it. But, you know, there was no eye contact, no, like, you know, we could have been, like, coordinated.
Some work on a board over here.
Like, play.
Just play. He's like, here it is.
That
name
one
song,
click
bam.
You really had to
do it.
It's all right. We forgive you, Eddie. We still love you.
I wasn't asking for forgiveness.
That's all right.
I need no forgiveness.
All right. So Brian, you've also worked with, you've worked on tape.
Yes.
You've worked in digital.
That's right.
You've done mixing. You've done recording. What are some of your
live
favorite
broadcast?
Live broadcast. Live you did some of the live done, Michael Jackson performances, right?
Yeah, true. Yes. I was on the MTV Video Music Awards in 95 when he opened the show for like 11 minutes. I was myself and Brad Buxer, the two of us, were doing all of the music cues. And it was funny because it wasn't all like he was doing a medley. But the medley was not an exact, like, timed out. He would give us cues, you know, body cues.
Can you
like
show us a body cue?
How about this? Is that good?
No way. No, yeah. Cue? That was not a cue. I was like, no. Show us a real cue. No. Like, you don't have to get, you have to put your shoes on and everything.
No, a real cue would be like he'd be down with his hat, and then he would just move his head, like, back and forth. That was the cue to start the next piece of music.
Jeepers.
So we had to play, first of all, we had to know all the cues. Backwards and forwards, right?
How many cues were there?
I think there were...
How many songs did he do in 11 minutes?
We had like at least nine pieces. Could have been even more.
Because they're cut up. It's like a midway.
Yeah.
So it's like a minute a song, basically.
But you know, we'd have like, say, 2 minutes of music, but maybe you'd do like 1 minute, maybe you'd do a minute and 20 seconds, maybe you'd do 50 seconds.
See, Eddie, I was trying to sway my head and you missed that cue.
You know, Michael would be, yeah, right, exactly.
If you get here early for the pre-production meeting.
I was here on time, come on.
So in a way, he was like improvising, right? He's dancing as much as he wanted to, and then it's like, okay, then he'd feel like it's time for the next piece.
So your eyes are glued on every move.
Yes.
Wow. And then it's like, push play. Had to be one of you guys that was like, go, push it. you.
Is that what you guys are really doing? You just press play?
For that performance, yeah.
You just watch the cues and just press play?
Except, I mean, he was doing the vocal, and then we had a choir that came in, and then we had Slash came out for his guitar, so all that stuff was live.
That's crazy.
But... For the track itself.
Is that the performance where Slash like stayed on the stage?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
talk to me about that because nobody knows. We all know that Slash probably didn't plan that exit. But I remember a guy came up and was like, yo, you gotta go. And he was like, man.
Like, Michael was kind of like, get off the stage. Slash like, I want to keep playing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was just like a little chaos.
And were you like watching the cues like, guys, don't stop pushing play.
Damn.
Because that was, he still had to do Billie Jean, right?
Yeah. It ended with the choir at the very end. I think it maybe ended with Heal the World, although I'm not... I need to watch that
again. I thought
again.
It was the Free Willy track.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Because that's what the choir was for, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Or Man in the Mirror, maybe. Maybe.
But anyways,
let's talk about that. So Slash comes out and plays, and he's playing longer than he should. What are you and your buddy Brad thinking in this moment? Like... What do we do now? Are you thinking anything like that? Like, what? There has to be a panic.
We're waiting
panicking.
For the next cue.
But then Michael's like, he's like urging Slash to get off stage.
Yeah, so he doesn't give us the cue.
Man.
He's busy trying to get Slash off
and
the
then
stage.
It's crazy. There was just a moment where Slash is like, okay, I'm done. And then he gets... Have you seen that performance?
And then it continues.
Dude, oh, yeah, it's wild. It's really wild. It's really like 90s wild, crazy, chaotic.
Did anything happen backstage afterwards? Like, did Michael go off on him?
No.
Damn it, Slash.
Yeah. What drama happened? What drama?
Slash just like smoking a cigarette and threw his hand out.
That's nuts, man.
Slash, you really missed your cue.
It was cool. it was fun. Just being on stage at the Radio City Music Hall in New York and you know, just like Unbelievable.
Man, you've been a witness to like some of the best records, performances. Like, that's just epic. I mean, it's something that may never, ever happen again. As you know, like, Michael and Prince and all these great legendary artists have passed. You've been a part of history. It's insane. Where can people find you if they want to ask you to mix something or record something?
Right.
What's your website? Spell it out because people are dumb.
BrianVibberts.com, which is B-R-I-A-N-V as in Victor, I-B-B-E-R-T-S. Or Vibberts Mixing on Instagram, Twitter is also.
Can you get all that stuff through your webpage?
Yeah.
All right, so just go Brian Vibberts.
And also on the Wake Up Hollywood.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Well, let's end with something big. Let's end with a little Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to drum roll it? Are you going to drum roll it now?
Well,
yeah. Yeah. Well, let's set this up. Come on. Michael Jackson. Janet Jackson. Scream.
Make the mark in the scheme. Get fun and go with different lines.
thanks, guys, for having me.
Thank you for being here. We want you to come back.
BrianVibberts.com.
That's right.
Check it all out. You should sell headphones on your website.
maybe I
You might want to get into that business. AmazonShop.com. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Okay, guys, for Nikhil.
Hey.
Eddie.
Yo.
Brian.
Yo, yo.
His headphones. Good night, everybody.